हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 31, Sutra 1413, Shamshaya. The word annam, food, here is indicated in the Madhyadina recession of the Upanishad, but not in the Kanva recession. In the Kanva recession, then, there are only four items and not five. This doubt is answered in the next sutra. Jyoti shai ke sham asat yan ne. Jyotisha, by light. Ake sham, of some. Asati, in the absence, anne, of food. Though the word food is missing in the Kanva recession, the word jyotish is added to make the total five. Sutra Prakashika. There is a replacement of the word food with the word light in order to make it five. Sri Govindabhasya. Siddhanta. Though the word food is missing in the Kanva recession, the word light, jyotihi, is found there to make a total of five items. Before the description of Panchajana is found, the phrase tad deva jyotisham jyotihi, the Lord is the light of lights, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.16. Though this phrase about light occurs in both recessions, it is included to make five in the Kanva recession, since food is omitted there, and it is omitted while counting five in the Madhyadina session. Recession, right? So, in other words, jyotihi is used in one and not used in the other, though it's in both of them, right? The whole point is that's actually being established is that the Lord is the origin of everything. He's the light of light. He's the food of food. Whatever it is that we value, whatever is important, the working principle is Krishna. That's why anything works. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're sitting, he is the rug of the rug. Right? You know, so it's not the fabric that it's made out of. It's the principle that this rug creates warmth or insulation or protection or, does that make sense? That's Krishna. Right? So that's the principle of how Krishna, then he's saying, of all values, if you don't see Krishna connected to it, then you're not actually seeing. Right? So that's the point, is he is, whatever it is that you like, that's him. Because otherwise it's just dead matter, so why is it acting in this special way? It's because it's Krishna. That's why it acts in that way. Otherwise, dead matter, why should it have a difference? It's the same thing. Same unconscious thing. So because Krishna enters it, that's why it takes on that specialness. Is that okay? So that's what's being established by this. We're not establishing, the pradhan or anything else. Because when it says he is the food of the food, that's pradhan. The food of the food, that's Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? The form of the food, that's pradhan. But why the food has potency, that's Krishna. So that's the whole point. They take it up to a particular place. They think pradhan is causing that potency, when it's not. It's just unconscious matter. It can't. So the only way that you can give any benefit then to consciousness is through consciousness. And since pradhan's not conscious, it can't actually produce anything. Mm-hmm. Yes?
They don't even take pradhan back to Brahman?
No.
And what's Brahman then?
For them, I think it's pradhan.
So unconscious.
Yeah, because they don't really bring in the Lord in that way. You may have the aspect of the Supreme.
They also say that Pradhan can glance.
Pradhan can glance. Glances at itself. But then you need a mirror to glance at yourself. Unless you have very long eyes or something. Or like, a, what do you call it? Like snails they have on the ends. Or like that, then you can look back at yourself.
Nash Krishna is the glance of the glance.
Yes, so that's, in any case, he's the glance of the glance. Yeah. But that's the whole point, is that all these philosophies, though they may have truth in them, they're incomplete. And because of the incompleteness, we can't accept them as absolute truth.
Yes.
That's the whole point. It's not that they don't have elements that are there, but they're not complete. Yes.
What's the truth in their statements?
Up to the element of Pradhan, then generally everything is correct, because they're taking it from Shastra. Just like up to the point of liberation, what the impersonalists say is correct. Mm-hmm. Like they say, if you perform your duties without attachment, you'll get liberated. We'll say the same thing. Problem is once you get to the liberated platform, they'll say that's the ultimate. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll say it's not. Right? There's beyond. So, and they'll say it's eternal while it's temporary. Means Brahman is eternal, but them being in Brahman is temporary. Is that so? So that's the yes. So all these things. So that's why we have to be, if we're comfortable with that we can accept that they have parts that are bona fide, but because it's not complete, therefore it's technically therefore not bona fide. Then we can work with all these things. So then you can use Nyaya, you can use Patanjali, you can use Patanjali, you can use all these different things for what they add to the whole thing. But because they're not complete, it's only Vedanta makes it complete. So in actuality, all these parts that they have are all part of Vedanta. But it's just that they don't recognize it with Vedanta, so they give it a different terminology. You know, it's just like someone else has an idea, you take part of that idea, give your own name to it. Right? I think technically the name's called copyright infringement, but, you know, yes, you understand. So that's what's going on. That's all it is. So then we go, oh, but that's like us. No, no, no. They're like us. Mm-hmm. You know? It's not that... We're the main thing, not them. It's like, oh, they're the... Then we're connected. You know, oh, if in the West they do that, you know, let's say if the West tomorrow decided that, you know, dairy products are very, very important for the development of the intelligence and all that, then we'd go, see, you know, because they're the authority. No, we're the authority. And just by chance, now and again, they figure things out. Does that make sense? Then we won't get distracted. Otherwise, we see, there's a similarity, therefore we can do what they do. Mm-hmm. But no, it's what makes the Vedanta perfect is its connection to the Lord. That's why it's the end of knowledge. All these others are other aspects of knowledge. They're parts of knowledge that bring you forward. They're not the end of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Right? Krishna's the end of knowledge. You know, he's the knowledge of knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing, is that he's that end. Well, their knowledge, but he's the knowledge of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. Means it's why the knowledge should be known. Does that make sense? So if that's appreciated, then that's actually when you can deal with Yukta Vairagya. But if you don't have this understanding, then Yukta Vairagya will be sentimental because you can't actually make the connections. You just say, I'm using Krishna's service. But why can it be used in Krishna's service? That's not what's seen. So that's where the sentiment comes in. It's because I am comfortable using this, and I'm using it in Krishna's service. So that's the authority. But otherwise, it can't be explained that Krishna is whatever it is that he is the point what I'm using. You know, it's like I'm using the car in Krishna's service. I'm going to use a car anyway. I like cars. And so now I'm using them in Krishna's service. So it's Yukta Vairagya. So technically it is. But the problem comes is that it's not on either, because yukta means it's connected to Krishna, vairagya means I'm not attached to it. So it'll be very weak, because I'm attached to driving cars, and it is used in Krishna's service, but that's not the prominence. So when I understand that Krishna is the car of the car, then I can understand that actually it's Krishna So I'm simply engaging this in Krishna's service. Then I can be aware of Krishna when I'm dealing with the car. So I'm comfortable using the car. That's my conditioning. So naturally I'll use it. Just like, so that's not a problem. The problem is my comfort with my conditioning. You know, my attachment to it. You understand? That's where the problem comes in. But when it's seen in connection with Krishna, then because he's the car of the cars, therefore then it's Krishna that is making the car work. Therefore I have to deal with the car because it's Krishna, not because I like it or how I want to. You understand? Because otherwise people deal with cars that are not actually good for cars. Because the bottom line is it's about themselves. They like cars. So as long as they like cars, they work with cars. If they don't like cars, they don't work with cars. It's that simple. So, but if you see that the car, the carness of the car is Krishna, then it's a whole different thing. Then you have to deal with the car as Krishna. And so therefore I have to deal properly. I have to brake properly. I have to steer properly. I have to change the gears properly. I have to put the petrol, the oil, change the tires. You know, how I'll park it. I can't park it where the tail's sticking out a bit because someone might hit it. All these different things. I have to do it properly because it's Krishna. Right? Then that means it's yukta and it's vairagya. So they go together. But the other, the yukta and vairagya, aren't so strong. And in this, they're strong. Because I don't actually see it as Krishna. So it is connected in the effect, or the result is connected to Krishna, but the whole process is not actually connected. I mean, once I give the result, of course I get the benefit, but I'm still not going to get the same benefit as one who's in knowledge. That's what Krishna says to Nanda Maharaj. That they're doing the sacrifice, but why? And he just says that, you know, is it some specific thing or is it just tradition? He says it's tradition. So they don't know why they're doing it. So Krishna says that doing it, you'll get benefit, but someone who knows gets more benefit. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's an important aspect. Is that this is what makes the whole process work. So you can see it's a very important point. So not understanding this, they will try to work. Now without this understanding in it proper, will it be easy to follow this Shankhya? Because it's purely intellectual. It doesn't have that personal connection that Krishna is the car of cars. So therefore I'm dealing with Krishna. Krishna's potency is the car. So then I'll remember it as Krishna. Right? Impersonalists will just see it as Brahman. You know? Or the demigods as Paramatma. But we'll see it as Bhagavan. It's Krishna. That's the aspect that makes it work. Therefore I deal properly. Yes. Yes.
Can we say in this case that we deal with yukta vairagya in gunas?
Yeah, you could, but what we're talking about here, that's pure goodness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're dealing with yukta vairagya because this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the rule, this is the law, it is my duty, and out of, you know, this is the appropriate thing I should do, then that's goodness. If this is the appropriate thing I should do, but I really want the result, that's passion. When I don't see the importance of doing the following the rule because we're not this body, Prabhu, and all that kind of jazz, that's ignorance. Because it's not actually, you're not applying the knowledge to the thing because you're not this body. That's there. But the point is Krishna is the body of the body. So that means the body is functioning according to Krishna. So we're not the body, but the point is Krishna's potency is the body. And so we have to deal with the body according to what the body is. But we're saying, no, we're not the body, so I can do whatever I want. I'm independent. I'm the controller. And by doing it in this way, it's what I prefer, so I'm the enjoyer. And by saying it in this way, also, I'm saying that everybody's not the body, so no one has to follow, so I'm therefore I'm the best friend. But somehow or another in Krishna, he doesn't agree with this, proposal, that we're the controller, we're the enjoyer, and we're the friend of everyone. No, he's the lord of all planets. He's the results of all enjoyer of sacrifice. He is the friend of everyone. So it's a weakness. So he sees all these things that go into. People may say, oh, that's all theory, but it just comes down to that. They don't know the philosophy. Or they know it, but they're not seeing how to apply it. There's no realization. The realization is only going to come by contemplation and practice. So if I'm always applying I'm not this body, then that's there. But I only apply it when it's good for me. When it's not good for me, I don't apply it. Then I apply, you know, sentimental stuff. You know what I'm saying? Whatever's the modern social thing that I like. So it's not that we use Shastra just for our own purpose. No, we agree with Shastra because Shastra is the authority. So if we like it, don't like it, we accept. So we see that because of these things, then they have to interpret in their own way. That's why that hermeneutics. They have their own interpretation. But we have to take the interpretation given by Krishna and the authorities following Krishna. So then it comes down to, then you deal with it how you should. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then it balances. It's not too much this way or too much that way. Because it's about Krishna. Because for us, then we're too much to the right or too much to the left. But if it's about Krishna, it has to be in the middle. Because it's, what if the right is useful, that's what's used. What if the left is useful, that's what's used. Right? It only becomes right and left because we use it separately from Krishna with our own desire. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference. Comment to Sutras 12 and 13. And this is 13. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24, 63 through 64. My dear Lord, you are the only Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. Before the creation of this material world, your material energy remains in a dormant condition. When your material energy is agitated, the three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, act. And as a result, the total material energy, egotism, ether, air, fire, water, earth, and all various demigods and saintly persons become manifest. Thus the material world is created. My dear Lord, after creating by your own potencies, you enter within the creation in four kinds of forms, being within the hearts of the living entity. You know them and know how they are enjoying the senses. The so-called happiness of this material creation, exactly like the bee's enjoyment of honey after it has been collected in the honeycomb. Footnote 4. Srila Prabhupada's purport explains the purpose of material creation. So in other words, why are we going through this? Is because those following Shankya then will say that the Pradhan is the one who's creating everything. But here we're showing that Krishna's creating. Right? He's agitating the material energy, and by this, through his potency, it's acting. You know, just like a machine. Machine will just sit there forever. But when you put in potency from outside, then it can do so many things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're trying to establish, it's Krishna who's doing all these things. So all the things attributed to Pradhan are actually attributed to Krishna. If we're looking at the mechanical, we may just look at the mechanics of it, but actually it's connected to Krishna. So the more we see it connected to Krishna, the more we'll actually be Krishna conscious and be able to use it in advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you can look at all these technical things without Krishna consciousness and take the advantage of the mechanics of it, but it's not necessarily you'll be able to connect it to Krishna. Does that make sense? And because we're trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, then it may not work for us. You know, the materialists they can use, because that's all that is how they're dealing with Krishna. Right? Right? They see Krishna as money. They don't know he's the money of money. But in any case, the smart ones, then they deal with money according to the nature of money rather than how they want to deal with it. Right? And so they're successful. And so then we'll look at that and say, I can do that also. But for the devotee, it's not that the ultimate goal is Krishna's money. So therefore, we reciprocate with Krishna's money. But the problem is that we're not seeing the ultimate, how Krishna is the money of the money. And so Krishna for us may not work because it's not a matter of karma. For the materialist, he has the karma, he's dealt properly with money, he still then he gets the results. But for the devotee, since the result is Bhagavan, then it may not work. Because Krishna's independent. Because it's about developing love for Krishna, not developing love for money. Right? Does that make sense? Because that we already have. But we're trying to give that up to develop love for Krishna. In other words, we have love for the money, but we have to learn to love the money of the money.
Yes.
And since we're not seeing that, then Krishna may not respond as well.
Krishna doesn't give us a chance.
Hmm?
Krishna doesn't give us a chance to practice, to love the money of the money.
He does, but not necessarily in the form of associating with so much money. That's the point. In other words, he doesn't give us the money like that. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yes.
So Maharaj, a pure devotee is always seeing the energy of Krishna in connection with Krishna.
Yes, that's the whole point. Is they always see, like you see, the gopis are the best example. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is, it just reminds them of Krishna and Braj. So everything is just Udipan for them. Right? For the other devotees, certain things are. And even for the gopis, there's main things that are directly. But anything is Udipan. That's the unique position of them. They don't see anything not connected to them. Just thinking it. Could change the phrase. Show me the money of the money. Yeah.
But even if we have little money, if we see the essence of the money, it's good.
It's good. That's the whole point. Because then it's a matter of what you can do and be Krishna conscious. Because it's not that, okay, I have love for the money, I tried to deal with the money, but I'm not getting the money, but now I've come to Krishna consciousness, now because I know the money is Krishna, that therefore I should get so much money. But then that's still not a proper, it's still not pure devotion. So Krishna, depending, may reciprocate, may not. Right? You know, that's why it's mentioned, akinchana gochar, just how much you need, that's how much you keep, and that's there. And so, actually, what you need, that's another thing. What you want's one thing, what you need is another. Right? Because what you want is so many things, but what you need are only those things you've actually come to the position of actually focusing on and dealing with. So you may have unlimited desires, but only so many needs. So Krishna will fulfill the needs. So sometimes we say, no, but why isn't Krishna fulfilling this? Because it's not a need, it's a want. Like that. That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
But don't we say that the want become a need?
Huh?
The want become a need after some time? You contemplate a need?
Yes, but is it an actual need?
Yes. You can mention the actual.
Just right out. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Once needs actual needs. Yes. So. But here, that's what it generally, when you're referring in these things what you want and what you need, you're generally meaning what you actually require. That would be the typical application of it. But if you wanted to get technical, yes. That's the actual needs. Okay.
So Maharaj, just a little point. I mean, it's very, we can say, it's more easy to understand with gross material things like the money, the two sides.
Yes,
money.
Yes.
But what about the most subtle thing, like the relationship?
But he's the relationship of the relationship. Yes. You know, it's just like the gopis were saying to Krishna when they first came and met him, when he played the flute on the night of the Rasa dance, that for them, the only way that they can stay in their houses and be comfortable there is because they see their husbands or their sons, you know, what actually the real point of the husbandness is Krishna. So because they're seeing their family members and their situations, the home and all these things in connection with Krishna, that's the only way that they can survive in the home. Like that. because it has that favorableness, because if they're out on the street, then they can't maintain this and that. That's the whole point of what Varnashram's for. Varnashram maintains the body. Right? So the rules concerning the body maintain the body. The rules concerning the mind protect that. The rules concerning the social protect that. And so then you're able to use them in Krishna's service. But to just do that nicely without connecting to Krishna is a waste of time. So we see in sometimes the contemporary context that devotees means they take it for granted that it's all about Krishna, and which it is. But in that taking it for granted, they don't necessarily follow the process of contemplation and practice. So the part that they see is the you know, what they consider the uniqueness or the visesha is the element of how I can get the benefit from this. Right? And ultimately, of course, the benefits for Krishna and this and that and all these things. But that knowledge and skill becomes prominent, and the actual real knowledge, right? So they have the knowledge and skill, but not the knowledge of the knowledge and the skill of the skill. And so if you're not looking for that, you're not dealing with that. It's not automatic. If at the end you give it to Krishna, then that's renunciation. But as long as you don't get distracted, then renunciation is good. But the point is what's being offered is sannyas, that you're already seeing a connection. So in other words, like we were saying, if you're driving the car, you know, like that, and using Krishna's service, but you like driving cars and like this kind of thing, that's renunciation. But if you see the Krishna as the car of cars, so you're dealing with the car according to its nature and how, what are the laws governing and everything like that and all these things. So therefore, you would be seeing to the safety, you're putting the seat belts, you'll park properly. You know, you'll see so many things that are bigger. Then that's sannyas. So that's a superior position. The difficulty with, and so that's safe. Renunciation is good as long as we're focused on the renounced part of it. You know, that ultimately is for Krishna. But if we take that for granted, then the point we get distracted by the knowledge and skills that we're applying, and just getting the result is what's good, rather than the result for Krishna is good. So we're just not taking quite that step enough. So that's the point. So then we end up with just the sentimental aspect. We don't actually know the philosophy. So then it actually boils down, if you look at it from this perspective, then there's those who understand the philosophy and understand the culture. And then they use that together. So that's the pure Vaishnava position. Then in the non-pure, devotional service position or Vaishnava position, then you can have you know, those who emphasize more the philosophy or the karma, right? You know, the sentiment or the mental speculation. And then within that, you have those who use Vedas as the authority, or those who use their own mind, or, you know, what's popular is authority. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how you get all these different varieties. So then establishing on the Vedas, more solid, but then establishing on the proper Vaishnava understanding, that's the best. So it just means understanding this makes everything work so nicely. So that's why then they're having problem. All these other schools have problem because they don't see it in connection with Krishna. Though they talk about the food of food, but they're not actually focused on that. Because they'll think the food of food is something other than Krishna. Yes. So they won't actually get the real results. Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains the purpose of material creation. If the whole creation is one, that is, nothing but the Supreme Lord or Vishnu, then why do the expert transcendentalists make such categories as are found in the above verse? Why do learned and expert scholars distinguish between matter and spirit? In answer to these questions, Lord Shiva says that spirit and matter are not creations of various philosophers, but are manifest by Lord Vishnu, as described in this verse. Tvam eka adhya purushaha. Spiritual and material categories are made possible by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually, there are no such distinctions for the living entities who are eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. There is only a material world for those who want to imitate the Lord and become enjoyers. Indeed, the material world is nothing but forgetfulness of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of everything. The distinction between matter and spirit is created by the sleeping energy of the Lord when the Lord wants to give some faculty to those living entities who want to imitate the Lord in enjoyment. It is only for them that the material world is created by the dormant energy of the Lord. For instance, sometimes children want to imitate their mother and cook in the kitchen, and at such a time the mother supplies with some toys so the children can imitate her cooking. Similarly, when some of the living entities want to imitate the activities of the Lord, this material cosmic manifestation is created for them by the Lord. So, the philosophers, they come up with these things. So then the idea is they've created this.
Yes.
Right? The Shankya will consider that they've created all this. Or Gautama and his logic, we've created this. No, they've always existed. So, for those who are Krishna conscious, then these are all connected to Krishna. So they don't see any difference. So they're not in the material world.
Mm-hmm.
They're situated within this inferior energy. But since it's all Krishna, they're connected with Krishna. They're situated with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it doesn't actually matter. The location's not the important point. It's the consciousness of being connected to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? So, but for those who see themselves separate from Krishna, then this material world's been created for them. Right? And so then they can go on and think that it's not connected to Krishna. Right? When in actuality it is. And so they come up with these different things. They give all the names. They give all the definitions. All these different things. But in actuality, it originally is just coming from the Supreme Lord. So the imitation is there. Right? So you have something that's there. So in other words, it has that similarity, but it's not quite as nice. Does that make sense? You know, you get a pot. You get a spoon, but not one that not this special pot and special spoons like that. You know, you may get a little bit of, a potato or something thrown inside, not necessarily peeled, like that. You know, you don't want to waste a potato. Does that make sense? You know, and then in that way, then the kid is cooking. But it doesn't create the effect that the actual cooking does. So that's why we say it's a reflection. It's based on the same principles as the original.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't give the same effect. Just like you can't satisfy your hunger from the pretend cooking. Because from the pretend cooking, they do pretend eating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They pick it up, so nice, like that. Oh, yeah. You know. So will it satisfy your hunger? No, it's just the mental speculation it does. Right? Just that mood of, I'm cooking and I'm eating and I'm all this. So that's what's going on in the material world. We think, I'm doing all these things. I'm a family person. I have money. I'm doing so many things. I'm respected in this world. But it's all technically pretend because the soul's none of that. It's all connected with the external. Right? So just like the pot is there and the spoon is there and you're pushing it around, it is interacting. But in actuality, you're not getting any cooking. So we're doing that. We're getting the work. We're getting the money. We're getting the position. We're getting all these different facilities. But it can't give any enjoyment to the soul. Does that make sense? That's what it is. So that's why it's a perverted reflection. It's a reflection, but it's a perverted reflection because we think we're the enjoyer. But you see the reflection in the mirror, you know it's you. But if the reflection in the mirror thinks it's somebody else... You know, you go in there and go, oh my God, my hair, and then the reflection in the mirror goes, well, what's wrong with the hair? You know, I like it like this. You know, you got a problem now. Huh? Yeah. Okay. The material creation is therefore caused by the Lord through his material energy. Right? That's the thing, it's through the material energy. It is by the glance of the Lord that the material energy is activated. At that time, the three material qualities are set into motion, because that's what's controlling it. So when the modes are set into motion, then everything comes out, because everything is all coming from the different modes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the material energy is manifest first in the form of the Mahatattva, then egoism, then ether, air, fire, water, and earth. After the creation, the living entities are impregnated in the cosmic manifestation. And they emerge as Lord Brahma and seven great rishis, then as different demigods. From the demigods come human beings, animals, trees, birds, beasts, and everything else. The original cause, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as verified herein. Tam eka adya purushaha. Right? So then you start with that, Brahma, then the great rishis, like this. So then you start there. So that's how, means this is how you come down. You come in as Brahma, then if you go back to Godhead, then fine. But if not, then you have the sages, then if not, the demigods, and then the humans, then die down into the animals, and then, you know, like that. And you're stuck on the bottom of someone's shoe. Yeah, so all these things. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5.1. Ishwarath Paramakrishna. Yeah. Those who are covered by the material energy cannot understand that the origin of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So all these six schools, they're covered and they can't see its connection to Krishna.
Yes.
So because you have to come up with a philosophy and explain everything without Krishna, therefore they come up with all kinds of strange and wonderful things. So six main philosophies that are there. So everything else that's in there in philosophy will be derivations of elements of these. They'll never be pure, right? Because, you know, Gotama and all, that's pure of that philosophy. But they'll take a little from here, a little from there, and mix it all together, and only a little bit. And that's all they'll get. You know, it's just like from Karma Mimamsa that you'll enjoy. You know, you're pious, you'll enjoy. Then you get Charvak, which then doesn't accept the process, but takes the enjoy part. Right? And so then you get, you know, yeah, this.
But we, as material conditioned living entities, we are also covered, and we cannot really see. So what helps us to penetrate?
Shastra. That's why Shastra Chakshus. You see through the eyes of Shastra. Means I may not see, but through Shastra I see. So that way then I do. And if I continue that, I'll start to see that way.
So it's the theoretical knowledge I'm going to realize?
It's the theoretical knowledge and the practice of that theoretical knowledge. So you have to have the theoretical knowledge, the contemplation of that theoretical knowledge, and the practice of that theoretical knowledge. That will then turn it into realization. But if you only hear the knowledge but don't contemplate it and practice it, then you won't get realization.
Yes.
Yes.
Maharaj, Charvak Muni, what was his intention?
To enjoy life.
But he's called Muni, you see.
Because he has his own philosophy. Yeah, but it has to be good. Is everyone following everybody else? No. Right? You know, somebody in Tarapur has their philosophy. Does anybody care? No. At Charvak, they care, so he's moody.
So far, modern philosophy, we don't accept so much. We don't give much importance.
No, because how deep is it? It doesn't go very deep. So how serious can you take? Even in modern philosophers, there's only, you know, there's a few that are taken as prominent, like that, and most of them are from some time ago. You know, 100, 200 years, 300. You know, back, I think 1700s were all. 1800s are when all the big Western philosophers were there. You know, unless you go way back, then you go back to the Greeks and stuff like that. But basically, yeah, somehow or another, there's the Greeks, and then there's a bit of a gap, then there's the French, and then there's a bit of a gap. Yeah. I guess the only thing that woke it is that it had the Greeks were there, then it fell asleep, then because the importation of coffee, then it woke up again, right? And that's but only French were good at making coffee, so that's the only reason they woke up. The others didn't really. that make sense? Yes, no.
He's not a local one.
Okay. We'll move on. Or what are you looking for?
No, I'm meant to say that he's glorified as Rishi and Muni.
Yes, but it doesn't mean that Rishis and Munis are the topmost thing.
Yes.
But he's glorified amongst those who are there. I mean, there was a kid, back in the 60s, he was a kid, but he was Maharaj Ji, you know. He was considered God, because his mother said so. And then as he grew up, and it was cool, but as he grew up and he became a little belligerent, then his mother declared he's not God anymore, but his brother is God now, because now... You know, because he was younger and the other one was older, so the older one was a bit of a nonsense, so the younger one was God. But then as the younger one came to that middle age and became not so nice, but the older one had matured, now the older one became God. So, and a lot of followers, I mean seriously a lot of followers, you know, or a man from Andhra with the frizzy hair, I think he had 50 million followers, you know. So, you know, like that, you know. And then there's the other gentleman that has his guru has a rag on his head. That one, then, you know, he's got a lot of followers also. Just depends where you're from then. So does that make sense? You know, so the one had a rag, but it worked. But the other one, if he tried to put a rag, it looked like he's working in a kitchen, so he didn't bother putting a rag. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you're saying over here that it is through the Shastra Chakshu only that this covering of material energy can be removed.
Yes.
And now these the six philosophies, they are using the Shastras as...
They're using the Shastras, yeah. Yes.
But because the attitude is wrong, that's the reason why they still remain the material covering?
Because they don't have bona fide guru. Because Shastra Chakshu means you hear Shastra from the bona fide source. Mm-hmm. So that would be the next stage back. Because mm-hmm. I was going in the connection with us, so then we have the proper Vaishnava guru.
Mm-hmm.
So the parampara is there. So for us, then it's seeing through the instructions given by the acharya. But for these others, the problem is they don't have a proper acharya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So without that connection to the four sampradayas, then they can never actually understand what is what. You know, just mm-hmm. it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They may hope it will, but it doesn't. Now, if they're really sincere in that and they really want to know, but this is the line they happen to be coming in or have connected to and they're looking, but if they're sincere, that will bring them to the Vaishnava lines.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But if they're not, then they'll get distracted by these because they'll think they have something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Those who are covered by the material energy cannot understand that the origin of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is summarized in the Vedanta aphorism, Janmadyasya Yataha, Srimad Bhagavatam 111, Vedanta Sutra 112. Oh, see, here's going. Because in other places it didn't make that distinction. Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Right? So those who understand, then they do this. Because he's the source of everything. That means everything that you value is actually him. So what you actually value is Krishna. Right? In other words, if he's the car of the car, that means that what you actually value is not the car. Because the car without the car of the car is not really a car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the car of the car. So that's Krishna who's of value.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when you see that in everything that you value, it's actually Krishna. Right? You know, he's the, how you say, he's the mascara of the mascara. You know, like that. So then you understand it's Krishna. So there's nothing else that is there.
Right.
Right? He's the nine iron of the nine iron. Yes.
But it might lead to very expensive things.
Very expensive thing?
Because if Krishna is behind everything, and you want to use Krishna in the best possible manifestation,
mm-hmm.
why would you use the cheap stuff?
Depends upon me. There's, how you say? It's been a while if I can remember the names.
That sounds like yukta without vairagya.
That's a point. Because you have... Oh, it's been a while. I don't know if you can remember. There was the I think it was there's four levels. I'm now getting three. There's fashion. There's it means then there's like overdone or obscene, you know, obscenity, and then there's luxury, like that, and then there is royalty. Yeah, there's the four. So, depending upon your position, you work within. What's below fashion, you don't have to use. But the point is fashion is more of a understanding than what you know what I'm saying. Like that. So, according to your position, you will use things accordingly. So, in other words, you may not use cheap stuff, but you don't have to use expensive stuff. There's something in between that's good and works,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, because it's how you use things as opposed to what they are. You know what I'm saying? Someone can be wearing that 1,500 euro Gucci skirt and not wear it very nicely, and someone else can get a similar skirt that's, you know, it's just come down the line on the general floor, you know, for, you know, $50, and they can wear it and look better than the one with the, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that those who, if you understand what you're dealing with, you can look good no matter where you are. You choose where you fit according to your position. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is after a point, does anybody notice the difference? Like, because it means you're, let's say, using a perfume, it costs you, you know, $100, okay? But will the people who you're working with in your sphere, would they understand the difference between the $100 one and the $900 one? No, so then why bother? You know, you're a sheikh, they can tell the difference, you know? So they buy that. You know, if you're a trillionaire, you know, what's the big deal? You know? So they can tell the difference. And so we can't. You stick within the realm that you can appreciate.
And where's the vairagya part in that?
Because it's for Krishna. Because Krishna is all of that. So it's a matter of your position. You're offering that to Krishna. That's why Krishna says better to do your duty nicely than someone else's. I mean, not nicely than someone else's nicely. You know, that's why I say, oh, well, hey, I can do that. And then they come in and do that. And they may, in one sense, do it nicely, but because the mentality is not matching, it's actually not nice. You know, it's like the person's managing. Everyone likes the person. They don't do a great job, but everyone likes the God. Then someone else comes in and says, this is not well done, and comes in, then they manage it. And it's perfect, technically. But no one likes it, nor likes them. So that's why it says you stick to your duty. It works nicely. You know, and when you get right down there, the people who don't have much money, they use the cheap perfumes. For them, it smells nice. And in their circle, it's great. So you've made that effort, you smell nice, and things like that, and they're happy. You know? So that's the whole thing, is it just, it works for them. So according to your position, you do that, because Krishna is the essence of all that. And so we work it wherever we are. And that's the thing. So that's the whole idea of being able to identify where one fits into the system. That's the importance of being able to analyze and figure, I fit in here. So therefore, I function at that level. You know?
According to this particular principle, you know, that Krishna is the car of the car. So, like, it's very easy to deal with dead matter, for instance.
But Yeah, go ahead. I was just, it just struck me. Is he the ambassador of the ambassador?
No.
Oh, yes, because he says he is the cheater of cheats.
Yes.
Okay, so in that way, then he's the ambassador. Okay, now I get it.
The category should be right.
Yeah, yes, it's not a car, so therefore not, yeah. So it's a cheating car, so he's the cheating of the cheating car. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then when we say that he is a person of the person, and in this particular way we are able to respect other people. Mm-hmm. Now that this is one aspect of it. The other aspect is that the conditionings of that particular person come, and then that's a challenge, you know, to deal with. So then.
Yes, but that's why all the etiquette and all those things are there. Because if you deal with somebody in a proper way, because the point is they're taking this aspect, and so then in that aspect, how do people in that expect to be dealt with? Does that make sense? You know, you have the, let's say, arrogant politician. How are you supposed to deal with him?
Arrogant.
You know, at the way he would appreciate. You know, tell him he's bigger than he is and more special than he is, and give him nice facilities according to his social status that he relates to and stuff like that. And you do that, he's very happy. And you get your work done. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So you see, these big, you know, wealthy, powerful guys, aristocratic families, you know, very well educated in that, and they deal with these very uncultured, uneducated, you know, government official, and they deal according to how the government official wants to be dealt with, and they get their work done. You know, so the government official is thinking, yeah, see, I'm controlling all these guys, how special I am. And the cultured man himself knows that, you know, he just did what needed to be done to get done. So he knows his position, the others. The other one's an illusion on both. Does that make sense? Because it means you have your work, you have to get your work done. So you deal with people accordingly. It's not that, well, this is false. No, that's actually how a person puffed up about their position acts. That's real. It's not the soul, so that's the illusion. But that's actually how it works. So you deal it like that.
So the same way we should deal with devotees also.
Means you apply, the principle is whatever the conditioning, you're dealing with the conditioning, because Krishna is also the potencies of that conditioning. So you have to deal with it according to that. You know, it's just like, let's say, Krishna, you know, challenges somebody in a wrestling match or something like that, you know, with that youthful arrogance. And so the other cowherd boy, then if he has that equal level, like Sridham and that, they'll challenge back in the same mood. And then it's rasa. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Just there it's direct, and the other one has a bit of distance between them and Goloka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you told that in New York, devotee was wearing, one person comes and he says that, why you are wearing bed sheets? Then he replies, blankets are...
The blankets were dirty, yeah. Yeah, so like that. You just deal exactly back, and they became best friends. You know? Like that. So, you know, it's just, it works. You know? Guy's clever, you deal in a clever way. The guy's humble, you deal in a humble way. It means all, whatever it is, that's how you reciprocate.
So, this is the art of rasa.
Yes, it's the art of rasa. So that's the thing, it's not a problem for us. So the social things, everything you see, like Prabhupada, the Acharyas, their ability to deal work perfectly. You know, Rupa Goswami sitting in Vrindavan, it works perfectly. When they call him to Delhi to meet Akbar and everybody there, then, you know, it all goes perfectly. You know, is it a cartographer? Or someone who you know, keeps the histories in that? They carved Rupa Goswami onto the wall. You know, that was one of the happenings that happened there. You know, special occasions. You know, that one picture where you see Rupa Goswami He's just in his kopans with a chain, and he's leaning forward like this, and making a point. It's just like a very simple kind of sketch. That's off the wall on Akbar's palace. So that's what, you know, so he could deal there. Prabhupada, he's down in the, you know, the Lower East Side with all the, you know, hippies and, you know, how you say, you know, we'll leave it at that. You know, and he's dealing nicely. They respect him and deal. At the same time, as we see, it was in Switzerland. He was meeting that government official, that minister and all that. And, you know, the guy's doing the thing, you know, where they kind of lift their heels and click the heels together and the bow and the whole thing, and Prabhupada's reciprocating perfectly. You know, he doesn't do that. He just does it in the end. But it's, the whole thing is that they can see his position and the business, and it doesn't matter who it is, because they understand, you know, the soul, Krishna, the potencies, rasa, all these things. So that's the point, is that this is what makes it work. We're thinking, no, we have to learn all these modern things. We don't, because they don't know what they're talking about. It's simply karma that it works for them, because you say, no, but it's working. Yes, but now after 5 years, will it still be working? Because you look, go back 10 years. Whatever was the thing then is not working now. So it's not the technique itself. All it is for the karmis is the modes of nature come up, therefore everyone finds it nice. The modes of nature change, no one likes it. You know, somebody's been there, they've been playing the same stupid music forever. No one likes them, you know, they throw their beer bottles at them and this and that. And then one day, bang, the modes change and now everybody loves them and they're the biggest band. You know, like that. And then the modes change again and no one cares. You know what I'm saying? So, it means they had to play in the underground and in the bars and place like that. Then they're the world thing like that. And now they're elevator music. You know, so it's just the modes. That's all. You know, before Frank Sinatra was the elevator music, right? You know,
the modes change.
Yeah, the modes change. You know, like that. You know, it's like they thought they were crazy, and then Elvis is the thing, and then now he, you know, to get by, he has to, you know, do weddings in Vegas to make, you know, to pay the bills. You know, so you know, so. So that's just, it's just the mode. So it's not that they know what they're doing. So we can't take what they're taking and use it and have it work. You have to take what we're using and use it. Now, you can look at what they're doing right now and get a key. Okay, this philosophical aspect here, this, you know, this religious part or this cultural part is being applied in this way by them now, and you see the connection. And once you get the connection, then you should be able to work out the rest. But if you take it that they know what they're talking about, they have no idea what they're talking about. Like that. It just moves on. No one cares. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like before, wasn't it, back like 10 years ago, then global warming was the thing? Now it's like people talking about, who cares? You know? The global warming guys are still talking, but, you know, you know, there's still guys talking about, you know, that, you know, the end of the world and all that. And, you know, it's so many things are going on. Yeah? Okay. When Krishna says that he is the origin of everything, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha, Bhagavad Gita 10.8, he means that he is even the source of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Purusha avatars, the material manifestation, and all the living entities within the material world. Actually, the word Prabhava, a creation, only refers to this material world. For since the spiritual world is eternally existing, there is no question of creation. In the Chaturshloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord says, Aham evasam evagre, I was existing in the beginning before the creation. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33. In the Vedas, it is also said, Eko Narayana Asita. Before the creation, there was only Narayana. This is also confirmed by Shankaracharya. Narayana Paro Vyaktata. Narayana is transcendental to the creation. Gita Bhashya. Since all the activities of Narayana are spiritual, when Narayana said, let there be creation, that creation was all spiritual. The material only exists for those who have forgotten that Narayana is the original cause. Right? So if you know, otherwise you're functioning in the spiritual world, even though you're within the temporary manifestation, but the point is the effect is the same. So okay, that's it. Srimad Bhagavatam, so then continuing the verses. Srimad Bhagavatam 325.9. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin and Supreme Lord of all living entities. You have arisen to disseminate the rays of the sun in order to dissipate the darkness of ignorance of this universe. Right, so he is, by knowing him, that dissipates the darkness. Otherwise, if you just know creation without the Lord, then you're still in ignorance. So the previous verse showed that he is the source of all that, so therefore one who knows Krishna, he actually knows everything. He's not in ignorance. So Adhikarana 4, Brahma is the only original cause. Yes, but since this doesn't have this, we're reading this. Okay. Karanatvadi Karanam. So that is then
14, 15.
Okay. On the sutras 14 and 15. Non-specific terms in discussion. The Charikya followers claim that Vedanta philosophy fails to describe a single original cause of creation. They try to prove that Atma, Akash, Prana, Sat, Asat is Pradhan, the cause of creation. But scriptures prove that all these are but different names of Brahman, and hence Brahman is the cause of creation. Because right? They'll say is that all these different names are there, so you can't establish that there's only one. Right, so then they say all these are all, and so, but then you know, then it'll be established. No, that Brahman is what's meant by all these names. So you have to see the context, because in one context, one word can mean one thing; in another context, it can mean something different. So context is very important. Right? So the Upanishads, when they're speaking, there's a context. You know, so there has to be sangati in the verses, between the verses and then other verses, between one chapter and another chapter. But there's also sangati between one work and another. That's why you can quote, you'll quote one verse, the Vishayavakya that we're discussing. But to bring out the words that are there, then you may be quoting from a different chapter of the same work. And then you can quote from a different Upanishad, because there has to be sangati between all of them, right? Because if everything's about Krishna and everything's about devotion to Krishna, that means all the scriptures are saying all the same thing. They're just bringing out different angles. Since Krishna is unlimited, there's unlimited angles you could use, and so then the Upanishads will reveal how many angles that we can handle. More than that, we can't handle. Not that there's not more, but that's just all we can handle. So that's why there's 10 main Upanishads. Within that you deal. But you can take reference from all the other hundreds of Upanishads if need be. But the point is to be specific. But as far as the technical philosophy, these 10, then that works. Okay. So now sutra reference 1, 4, 14, and 15. Adhyaya Prakashika. Brahman is the cause of the universe. The Supreme Lord is also non-manifestation and non-existence. Right? Because things having their existence, non-existence, their manifest and non-manifest, that also comes from Krishna. Right? So if there's manifestation, it means there's non-manifestation. It all comes from Krishna. Summary of Adhikarana 4. Shamshaya. The Charikya theorists raise another doubt. It cannot be said that the Vedanta describes Brahman as the sole cause of the universe, for the Vedanta philosophy does not describe a single original cause of creation, Purvapaksha. So this Purvapaksha, that's their presentation.
True.
Okay, so this is now their evidences, and examples for this. In Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.1, Atma, self, is revealed as the source of creation in the following words. From Atma, the sky was born. Right? So you can see, as we would say, that's Krishna, right? Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1 describes asat, non-existence, as the original cause in the following words. In the beginning was non-existence, right? So they'll take it, so there's two different things here, right? From non-existence, existence was born. Existence created the self. Chandogya Upanishad 1.9.1 affirms that akash, sky, is the original sky, cause. Quote, what is the origin of the world? Sky is the origin, he said. End quote. Chandogya Upanishad 111.5 affirms that breath is the original cause in the following words. Everything was born from breath and ultimately enters into breath again. Right? So now with our understanding from the last verse and what Prabhupada said in the purports, then we can understand all these is that it's all Krishna. Right? But because they don't have that understanding, they get bewildered. That's what happens with them. Another passage again proclaims asat, non-existence, as the original cause in the following words. Quote, in the beginning was non-existence. From non-existence, this world was manifested. Chandogya Upanishad 2.6.1 proclaims Brahman, the original cause in the following words. O saintly one, in the beginning was Brahman. End quote. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1.4.7 proclaims avyakta, the unmanifested, as the original cause in the following words. In the beginning was the unmanifested. That's avyakta, right? Mm-hmm. From it, all the names and forms have come. Right? So it's only because Krishna glances, his potency is there, then transformation can take place, then you get the manifestation. Right? Many other passages could also be quoted to show the different theories of creation. Because in these passages of the Vedas, many different things have been described as the sole original cause of creation. It cannot be said that Brahman is the sole cause of the creation of the world. However, right, because they're saying, we say Brahman, but they're saying, no, you can't say there's one cause because all the Upanishads say all these different things. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand the principle is all those are Brahman. Yes. Because they take it Brahman is impersonal, so they can't understand. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. However, it is possible to say that Pradhan is the sole cause of creation, as we find in the passage beginning with the word Tarhi, already quoted from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. If this view is accepted, right, because it said that Pradhan is there, and all these are elements of Pradhan, so therefore you can say Pradhan is the cause. Because sky is from Pradhan, you know, the non-existence of Vyakta is from Pradhan. All these different things are from Pradhan. So then they'll say that, but the problem is they can't say Brahman is from Pradhan. So that's the whole point. Yes, all these go back to Pradhan, and then Pradhan goes back to Brahman. So they just can't see that far. If this view is accepted, then the contradiction of seeing one thing sometimes as the original cause and sometimes as a product of the original cause becomes at once resolved. As well, to support this assertion, one can say that effect and cause are similar, right? See, so this is our philosophy. But they're using that for their own purpose. Right? So using philosophy for your own purpose is actually not actually the system. Because that's all these six schools do that. They take the Vedanta philosophy and use what they want of it to prove what they want. Like that. Right. So you can see the cause and the effect. So they're seeing, you can see Pradhan in the effect. So it's the actual cause. But they don't understand is Pradhan is the effect that can be seen in the cause, original cause of Brahman. Right? Yeah. Prana, ether, etc., which are effects, represent Pradhan, the cause. Pradhan may be called Atma, spreading out, right? So they're giving a different meaning to, to the word, right? So they're changing the meaning to do there. So the point is that, spreading out, but what actually spreads out everywhere, right? That's the Lord. He's all-pervasive. So that's Brahman. Ether, vast like the sky, he's unlimited like the sky, is Brahman. Or Brahman, that which is great, and he's, of course, the greatest. because of its pervading nature. So Pradhan has to some degree these qualities, but these qualities that Pradhan have are only coming from the Lord. So she can spread out and all that within one quarter of unlimited, but not unlimited of unlimited. Right? Like that. Pradhan can be called Asat because it is the shelter of temporary manifestations. And it is called Sat because it is eternal. It is called prana, metaphorically, since it produces prana. Right? But we see is that these manifest better for Krishna. Right? Because prana, he is the potency, he is the life force of it. Right? So because here he says metaphorically. So sometimes they do, sometimes they change the meaning, sometimes they do the other thing, so like that. Pradhan can be said to glance, etc., to express beginning of action. Therefore, the Vedanta says that Pradhan alone is the cause of the universe. That's their idea. So they're saying that's what the Vedas are saying. Because all these philosophies need to go back to the Upanishads. They have to be their source. Or the Veda itself. The Veda, Upanishads, any aspect of there. So it's just where you put the emphasis. So in this case, then it'll be on the Upanishads. Well, like the Karmani Mimamsakas, then it'll be more on the Brahmanas and on the Samhitas, like that. Not that they won't know something from these other points, but it'll be to support the Purva aspect, this aspect, as opposed to the Aranyakas and the Upanishads. Right? It can be said to glance, so they're not saying that it's not like a, what do you call it? What was that called? Yeah. Jerry Lewis. They told him to, okay. They were trying to teach him how to play golf, and he was saying, and they said that you have to look at the ball. So he was looking at the ball, and then the ball turned around. There was an eyeball on it, and it was looking back. Yeah, so that's the glance of Pradhan, right? So you want to avoid these kind of interpretations. Yes.
Also Nietzsche said that famously that if you're staring too much into the abyss, then you see it looks back to you.
The abyss is looking at you. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Siddhanta. Srila Vyasadeva disproves the views of the Charikya in the following sutra. Right, so this is their whole philosophy, how they're presenting it.
Charikya and it is with Shankya, the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I think it's just that grammatically it becomes that. Yeah. Yeah. Sutra 1:4:14. Karanatvena chakshadishu yata vyapadish tohe. Karanatvena, as the cause, cha, certainly, akash, sky, adishu, beginning with, yata, as, vyaparishta, described. Uktehe, from the statement. The Upanishads state that Brahman is the cause of sky and the other elements. Right, because Prabhupada mentions that so much. Says, everything that you see has come from Brahman. Right, the example is given of a field. It just looks like a field, but from the field, all the different plant life can come up. So the plant life is simply a transformation of the field. So the field is generic, but it can grow all those different kinds of plants. That means the qualities of all those plants are in the earth. So Brahman is generic. That's what makes it impersonal. It's generic. If I say people, that's impersonal. If I say person, the specific, that's personal. Right? So it's generic. So therefore Brahman is generic, but all those qualities that are there, those become transformed. Right? So it's the Shakti from Brahman that's transforming, right? And that makes then the all what you see here. Brahman doesn't transform, the Shakti of it does. But it's impersonal, means it's generic. So you get all the different generic things here. Right? We may have a specific relationship with, you know, that particular coconut tree over there. But it's just, you know, it's just one of unlimited coconut trees. Right? Does that make sense? So the principle of the coconut tree, that's what's coming from Vermont. And now I have a relationship with that specific coconut tree. Then I'll start to say it's personal. Like that. But we have to remember, as stated before, Krishna is the coconut tree of the coconut tree. So therefore, then it takes it back to the original personal. So, yeah. Sutta Prakashika. The Sutrakar cites several scriptural statements to establish Brahman as the cause of all that exists. Govinda Bhashya, Siddhanta. The word cha certainly is used here to dispel doubt. It may be said that Brahman is the only cause of the world. Why? Because the Upanishads state that Brahman is the cause of sky and other elements. The words yata, so they're just taking the ones that say it's from these things. They're not taking the ones where it says that Brahman is the source of these things. These first four schools, they only select certain verses. They don't actually take the whole group of verses like that. So that's a weakness there. The words yata vyapadishtam, as described, mean Brahman, who in the Lakshana Sutra Vedanta 112 and in other places in Vedic literature is described as all-knowing, all-powerful, and full of all other powers and virtues. Right? So that means Brahman has all these, but just they're generic. So when they're specific, then, you know, somewhat specific, you have the super soul, who is the person, but he is generally situated. Right? Because he's situated in the hearts of all living entities. But it's the same person. Right? But then when it's specifically personal, that he's situated with the specific devotees interacting with them. Right? Then that becomes, because we're dealing with Krishna as money, therefore that's impersonal. He reciprocates back that way. But it's Paramatma who then sanctions all that according to our karma. So that's why you say localized. It's like half Bhagavan, half Brahman. He's a person, but he's actually reciprocating with us on the Brahman platform, because we don't see more than that. You know what I'm saying? That's the... This is true because in all Vedanta literatures, Brahman is described as the original cause of sky and all other elements. That Brahman is all-knowing and full of a host of transcendental qualities is described in the following words, Taittiriya Upanishad 1.2.2, Satyam Jnanam Anantam. Yeah, the next word is, Brahma. Brahma. Brahman is eternal, limitless, and full of knowledge. That Brahman is the original cause of all causes is described in these words, Taittiriya Upanishad 1.2.3, Tasmat Va E Tasmat. From Brahman, sky is manifested. Right? So there's in the same way as they being able to pull out these verses, there's so many verses that will show Brahman as the original. Like that. They just don't take those ones. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.